We have beautiful scripture readings today. First of all, I want to say a couple words about this first reading, this prophecy from the book of the prophet Zechariah. This prophecy has to do with the coming or the arrival of a new king. And he comes in a most unexpected way. He comes riding on a donkey. Now, it seems that a king should have a little more dignified mode of transportation. It seems like he should be riding in a chariot or at least on a horse, a strong, majestic one. But instead, this king comes on a donkey. Now, like so many passages or so many prophecies of the Old Testament, it's not only pointing forwards, but it's pointing backwards too. Because there was another king who paraded through the streets on a donkey, and that was King Solomon. Right after he was crowned king by his father David, he rode his father's donkey into Jerusalem to the cheering of the crowds. So that's one of the things this prophecy is doing, is it's showing something about the new king by pointing backwards to a different king. It tells us that this future king is going to be like Solomon. And what was characteristic about Solomon? Well, unlike his father David, Solomon was not a military hero, but instead, he was a king of peace. And actually, this is exactly what our prophet is talking about today. He says, "He shall banish the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem. The warrior's bow shall be banished, and he shall proclaim peace to the nations." So the chariot, the horse, the bow, and the arrow will all be banished from Israel and Judah because there will be no need for the weapons of war. This new king has come to establish peace. So this image points backwards to Solomon, which tells us something about the future king that he's prophesying. And actually, the fulfillment of this prophecy we commemorate as a church every year on Palm Sunday, when the priest stands at the back of church, and then we read the gospel account of Jesus' entrance into Jerusalem, and he's riding on a donkey. He comes as the King of Peace. And he is the King of Peace. Jesus says to his disciples, and we hear this at every Mass, he says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives, do I give it to you." How does the world try to achieve peace? Well, usually it's through violent suppression. War tries to achieve peace in the world. But actually, Jesus achieves peace through the opposite way, through nonviolence. It's by submitting to the cross that Jesus frees us from the need to respond to violence with violence. Our need to respond to aggression with aggression. It's really good for us to think about how do we respond when someone else is aggressive towards us, when someone speaks a kind word or attacks us in some way. How do we respond back? Do we get really angry inside? Or do we let that anger inside come out of us in different ways, responding to violence with violence? But Jesus teaches us that we need to do the opposite, and he wants to be our example and also give us the grace that we need to do this, to respond to violence with nonviolence, to respond to aggression with humility. That's how Jesus wins peace for us. And that's how we can achieve peace in our hearts too. So we see in these readings a real contrast between our worldly concepts of power, what a king should be, what a king should be like, and what Jesus is really like. Jesus, our true king. So another great difference that we see between worldly kings and Jesus the king is humility. And so we see this as Jesus comes into Jerusalem riding on a donkey. That's a sign of humility. He should be riding something much more dignified than that, but he takes the humble road. And in our beautiful gospel today, Jesus himself talks about his humility. He says, "Learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart, and you'll find rest for yourselves. We'll find peace." That's what that rest is, peace. By learning to be humble and meek like Jesus. So there's something that he says in the first part of this gospel that always strikes my attention. And I use this gospel a lot because this is the main gospel that's used for the anointing of the sick. So when I go and anoint someone, which happens usually several times a week when I'm giving the sacrament of the anointing of the sick, we always pray this gospel. Unless it's like an emergency room situation, then you have to speed things up a bit. But if you don't have to rush, then we read this gospel as a part of that sacrament. And so Jesus starts out by saying, "I give you praise, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, for although you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned, you have revealed them to little ones." So first of all, this is very privileged words that we hear because these are the Son speaking to the Father. So we're talking about the inner life of God and the relationships between the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But this is what I think is so interesting, that Jesus says, "You've hidden these things from the wise and the learned, and you have revealed them to little ones." Again, who is important in the eyes of the world? Well, it's wise people, educated people, learned people, people who have degrees and letters behind their name. Powerful people, people who are the heads of their companies or who run businesses or who have made money through their worldly success, their skill in business. Jesus is not interested in any of those things. He says, "Father, you've revealed these things." And what is he talking about? Well, he's saying, Jesus is talking about the things of God, who God is. He's talking about the things of heaven here. "You've revealed the things of God and of heaven, not to the important people, but rather to little ones." Who is Jesus talking about when he says that these things have been revealed to little ones? Well, I immediately think actually of celebrating the anointing of the sick and the different contexts that I've celebrated the anointing of the sick. A couple weeks ago, all the priests of the archdiocese were doing their convocations, so they were all gone. And so then us priests who are not in the archdiocese but right on the border then get all of their sick calls and emergency calls. So we had a pretty busy week that week. And a couple of those people that I gave anointing to the sick, and they were end-of-life situations. In two of those anointings, which I knew that the person was just hours away from death, there was no family there, nobody. It was just me and that person. And it was actually so beautiful to pray with them, even though they were non-responsive. But they're a little one in that situation, forgotten by the world. Where's their family? Who knows? Did they have a family? Who knows? But there we were, and I was saying these words before I anointed them. I give you praise, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, for although you've hidden these things from the wise and the learned, you've revealed them to little ones, like this dying person, this poor person, forgotten, it seems, by everybody, but not forgotten by God, remembered by God, who loved them so much that he wanted his son Jesus to be with them in their last hours, to anoint them, to give them healing of mind, body, and soul, to console their heart, to be close to them. You've hidden these things from the wise and the learned. You've revealed them to little ones. Jesus is speaking these things in the presence of his disciples. And this is the only reason that we have these words, because one of his disciples heard them and wrote them down, recorded them. Who are the little ones? Well, it's the simple fishermen that he called. Andrew, Peter, James, John, as humble work. They weren't important people at all. Forgotten probably by most, but not forgotten by God. Matthew, the tax collector, maybe he was the one who heard these words, since this is his gospel. So he writes them down. Matthew, who was really looked down upon by everybody because of his sinful profession and the sins that he would have committed in cheating people as he skimmed off the top of the taxes that he was collecting. Nobody wanted anything to do with him. He's forgotten by the world, not forgotten by God. So many other people that Jesus reached out to, the sick, the lame, children. When children would try to come up to Jesus, the disciples, because they were thinking with the eyes of the world, would try to keep them away. Don't bother our master. He has more important things to do, more important people to talk to than you. Those little children, not important in the eyes of the world, very important in the eyes of God. Very important to Jesus, who said, "Let the children come to me, do not prevent them. The kingdom of heaven belongs to these." Who does the kingdom of heaven belong to? Not the wise, not the learned, not the important people. The people that we want to be around, the people that we want to be friends with, rub elbows with. None of those people. Little ones. So if we want to be like Jesus, we have to listen to Jesus and watch Jesus and try to be like Jesus. Not only just as our example, but this is precisely why we come to Mass, develop a relationship with our Lord, so that we can have the grace that we need to live this way. We can't live this way without grace. We need it. We can't do it. If we stay home, we don't have the grace to live as he's calling us to live. And how is that? To respond to violence and aggression with nonviolence. Cultivating peace in our hearts, which will cultivate peace in others as well. That's one way that Jesus shows us to be like him. Another way, not worrying so much about who's important, but rather to be on the lookout for the little ones. Who's forgotten by the world? They are not forgotten by God. Let's not forget them either. Let's ask the Lord Jesus today to please give us the grace that we need to be like him, to live like him, to respond to the grace that God is giving us to do this. Let's take comfort in the words that we hear in the gospel from Jesus, who's meek and humble of heart. He says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart. You will find rest for yourselves, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light.